prescribe standards that are going to apply in all cases, we'll consider each case on its own merits. And when we consider each case on its own merits, are we, in reviewing that individual case, imposing conditions that are going to preclude the opportunity for those kinds of facilities to be located in that location? And there is a difference there. And as I say, it may be subject to interpretation. I think the sponsors of the bill are thinking that those conditions that they're referring to are generic conditions that apply throughout the zone, and that there could be cases where a county or a city would actually deny a facility in a particular location if it was incompatible. Those are really standards.
Representative Anderson, then Representative Soa.
Mr. Chairman, my reading of 3-2 would show me that the skids would be greased to approve about 98% of the applications, even though they didn't have ordinances that permitted it, because it says very clearly they can't impose conditions to prevent it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, as we have met over the last couple of weeks, I think that we had agreement that the purpose of this language is to prohibit those conditions which are clearly intended specifically to prevent the siting of any facilities. It is, from a city perspective, important that we be able to impose conditions which will allow us to satisfactorily determine that such a facility is appropriate in a certain area. You may wish to ask, and those were the instructions that were given to Legislative Council to draft these, you may wish to ask Legislative Council down to confirm that this language
doesn't. Mr. Chairman, I'm not saying you can't deny, but I'm saying this is pretty clear language that somewhere in that say you've got to start, I think, give you directions that you can't put conditions to preclude all of
them. Right. Mr. Chairman, I was thinking of suggesting some different wording, but Russ seems perfectly satisfied. But on line 13, after imposed conditions, something defective so severe as to preclude siting. But I think I'll bow. It sounds like they're happy, and
my guess is
I just don't understand.
My guess is I'm sorry. He's ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to follow up on these conditions. Does that mean that if before I ask the question, let me tell you what happened in a neighborhood close to my district. They cited a facility that I think we're talking about here, and then within 5 years they're going to switch the facility over to a rehabilitating convicts or parolees or something like that. And anyway, is there a possibility of any conditions that would say that if this is for this type of a home, can it be in the future allowed to be, well, say if it's for mentally retarded people, can they allow in the future a mentally retarded that committed violent crimes and things like that to be housed in this home? That would be a condition, and I wonder if we're prohibiting that as a condition.
I'm going to apply a statement.
We could be citing.
Yeah.
Is that
right? There are two issues. Mr. Chair. My understanding of Representative Soa's question is that there are two elements. One is, once you locate one population there, can you then change the population that you house there without any further review? And it's perhaps Russ can help me on this, but it's my understanding that if you change the nature of the population, you have to go through another a review of some sort. It varies from city to city, but a whole different review, and you're funded by a different state agency.
Well, I understand that, but what about if then under the original permit they would say that after the home gets established, then we can allow these type of citizens that have been in prison or committed crimes or something like that?
I would presume that the city could make a choice as to whether it wanted to restrict the home to the population it started with, or whether it would permit the home the flexibility of allowing other types of folks in there. Certainly nothing in this bill would prohibit them from making that kind of condition or choice to prevent that sort of thing.
But it says that add conditions.
It says,
what if they would, during the original application, say that this home is going to be for mentally retarded
plus
mentally retarded?
Might I say here, I think, Larry, there's confusion about what the words condition here refers to. And if what as I understand it means that they cannot add conditions such to the system that would, in effect, preclude this type of housing. It doesn't mean that they can't have conditions on a particular site. Isn't that clear?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Representative Johnson had a question. Then Representative Berea.
I guess, given his example, Russ, would you agree that cities could control that issue?
Chairman Representative Johnson, I think a lot of jurisdictions, when they develop their zoning ordinances, are going to put in residential care facilities and not get to the point of discriminating between the different kinds of populations that might be able to live in those facilities. That may come up in the public hearing, and it may become an issue, and the jurisdiction may feel that in order for it to be compatible, they will have to limit it to certain populations and exclude others.
Given his scenario, though, that being that they're going to change population, they already have the permit, would the city have some way of getting back? That's the question.
Representative Johnson, that leads to the point. If they had been so specific as to put a condition on what type of population could occupy it, then the only way that could be changed would be to come back and get another conditional use permit. If they just approved it under the generic title, I don't think the jurisdiction would be able to look at that.
I see.
Mr. Chairman, as I read the language in the amendments, I think this entire bill is restricted to residential care facilities as defined under 443-400 sub 8, which, as I recall, does define a population. For six or more physically handicapped or socially dependent individuals, residential care in one or more buildings on contiguous property. I'm sure that we must have a land use attorney in here somewhere who would...
not if we can help it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, yes. If I may, one of the reasons the county planners asked Section 5 be added to the bill was not so much to deal with the issue of land use siting of these facilities, but right now there's a lot of confusion amongst the county planners about the various definitions that say residential facility or residential care facility with mentally handicapped, elderly, and all kinds of things, and we're having a very difficult time understanding these definitions that you just referenced to. And so that's one of the reasons that section is in the bill. We'd like to get some better definition as to these different populations and the facilities that they're serving so that we can do a better job of incorporating them in our local zoning laws. And we get caught up into this kind of a problem.
Let me ask Phil. Phil, read that citation again, because I think that's an important item that I think maybe we've missed in our discussion.
It is ORS 443-400 sub 8. Residential care facility means a facility that provides for six or more physically handicapped or socially dependent individuals residential care in one or more buildings on contiguous property.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Parker.
And to read on a little further, it says the residential facility does not include state or local correctional facilities other than local facilities for persons enrolled in work release programs.
Oh, which is exactly what you said. So you're going to get them whether you like it or not.
That's exactly what happened in our neighborhood. Started off with a good idea, and then pretty soon we found out it wasn't.
Representative Berea.
Mr. Chair, are we done with this? I can go ask another question.
Yes.
Sorry. Let me bring you back to Section 3, Sub 1, especially since Mr. Fultz is here. When is the City of Portland and Multnomah County up for their periodic review?
No.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Gordon Holtz, the Association of Oregon Counties. I can't speak for the city of Portland, but Multnomah County is up next year. 1988. I can't speak for the city of Portland.
Okay.
Well, I think they're up around there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berea.
They just did it in December of 87. We'll do it in December of 87.
They're due in December.
So December of 87 from Multnomah County?
For Portland.
And for Portland.
They haven't found Multnomah County.
Okay, so December of 87, right?
This year.
Okay, so Multnomah County under these amendments would be covered, but city of Portland would not.
Well, no, the city of Portland is up in December of 87.
But they...
Okay.
The second part of that question is, why are we tying the amending of ordinances, of city and county ordinances, to the periodic land use plan review? I know that the second sentence that says you can amend earlier, but why are we tying it in the first place? Why don't we direct the city or county simply to amend their ordinances right now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Berea, I guess our issue has always been to try and coordinate any changes that occur at one particular time so that we're not constantly changing the plan. One of the problems that has occurred over the years is so many changes that there has never been any steady plan that anybody can address. So I guess our issue is, and has been, in any legislation or any new rules of the agency, to try and coordinate that on a timely basis with periodic review. That's the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? We were just looking at this. The citation is 443.400, parent 8 only.
Yeah.
So the other issue, wipe that from your mind, because that's not permitted under the citation. Okay. Anything else on this measure? All right, we have, who are we missing from
Mr. Chairman?
That Western Parking Plan?
I'd like to ask him again, line 13, would you be adverse to putting that in there so severe as to preclude siding?
That'd be okay with us.
Could we accept that as a friendly amendment?
So no.
Is there any problem with that?
As to
Mr. Chairman, right. Representative Parkinson, in giving thought to the discussion, I'm still not clear whether we're talking about siting criteria that are included in the ordinance that are applied generically in the zone, or whether you're talking about conditions. I think the way it's been explained, what they're concerned about is that we don't have generic standards or criteria in the ordinance that are going to preclude them from being cited. So you could substitute, instead of saying conditions, citing criteria, and totally sidestep the issue of conditions, and that would leave the jurisdictions open to apply whatever conditions they felt were necessary to make the use compatible with what was going on in the immediate vicinity.
Would that make it easier for a layperson to understand when they look it up in the...
Yes. What's the suggested language, right?
Citing criteria instead of...
Yeah, we just read enforced zoning ordinances or citing criteria, which would preclude citing of residential care facilities and zones permitting density.
How would that be?
I think it's better.
Okay. Can we accept that as a friendly amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Berea.
You ready for a controversial amendment?
Let's go ahead. We're in work session. Let's get this one resolved and go back to our land use.
Mr. Chair, on page one of the printed 2936-6 amendments, on line 8, after the word 1988, insert, comma, or January 1st, comma, 1990, comma, whichever comes first, comma. I do want to speak to it.
Why don't you go ahead and speak to it?
Mr. Chair, I think that having Marion County and the city of Portland be able to put off amending their city or county ordinances for seven and a half years is unnecessarily broad. I think, you know, I would hope that they would operate in good faith and try to comply, but I think we need a date certain to allow them flexibility, but, you know, to ensure that they're going to, you know, that we aren't going to see them try to, let's say, amend this section 2 years from now. So I want to allow them some flexibility, but I want a date certain.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson.
After working in this process for a number of years now, I know how it completely unglues cities when you talk about forcing them to amend their comprehensive plan any more often than is necessary, and I got a hunch they will severely resist the amendment.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes.
You know, I guess Section 3 means they're amending their ordinance, okay, and that ordinance becomes a part of the comprehensive plan. Is there any way that they simply can amend their ordinance without affecting the comprehensive plan? I guess that's a technical question.
Chairman, Representative Berea, there are many provisions in zoning ordinances that do not have what you would call enabling policy specific to the point in the comprehensive plan. And this may be one of those areas, so that I think most jurisdictions would just go into their zoning ordinances and put the specific wording right in them and probably not touch the plan. The point here is that in the eyes of LCDC, the plan and the ordinance are the document that requires notification to them, 45 days notice, public hearings, and going through a standard kind of a quasi-judicial proceeding that involves a lot of extra work if you have to do it for each one of these little legislative directives that come down. And that's why we try to cluster them so we can do them as a group.
That's a very nice way of putting it.
I guess I'm concerned that Marion County or City of Portland will not do this for seven more years.
Well,
that's my concern.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berea, every jurisdiction is on a schedule that LCDC prepares. And so far, we've had a relatively small number of jurisdictions come through. Everybody else is on a schedule that's going to bring them probably in for periodic review within the next 2, 3, 4 years, because the current schedule was developed under the criteria of 3 to 5 years. Now that is being changed, and the LCDC could stretch it out. So yes, there will be some that may be in the 5th, 6th, and 7th years, but the chances that those are the critical jurisdictions to this group are pretty remote. They may not be the jurisdictions that you're referring to.
To your point of information,
yes.
Actually, the city of Portland is already in compliance with this. They wouldn't have to go through a change because residential care facilities are already conditional throughout their single-family and multifamily zones.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better. But how about the Marion County?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berea, I didn't bring my ordinance with me. As I recall, these kinds of facilities are allowed in our multifamily zones as conditional uses. I may not be happy with the kinds of criteria and would like to clean that up, but I think basically they are there and are allowable. I don't know whether the sponsors of the bill have a list of jurisdictions that are of particular concern and whether we're on it, but I don't think so.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Rea.
Let me withdraw my motion for the amendment, but let me state for the record that I am withdrawing with the representation that the cities and counties will act in good faith and not drag their feet and will not try to undermine anything we do today. That's why I'm withdrawing the amendment today.
I appreciate that, Representative Rea. I wouldn't want you to put conditions on that would be impossible, but I think that that's clear.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson.
Are you ready for motion?
Yes. I want to be sure everybody's here. I guess Mrs. Beacon's the only one, but I think about everybody else. Why don't we go ahead with the motion? We still got time for discussion.
Do we
We can let it vote later. Mr. Chairman, I'd move the 2936-6 amendment stated 42487.
To the bill with the
following changes. Line 8, delete whichever occurs first. Line 13, would you repeat the words, Russ?
Delete imposed conditions and insert citing criteria.
Okay, delete imposed conditions on line 13 and insert citing criteria.
All right, okay. Let's discuss that further when he has any idea, and then we'll come back to the basic bill with these amendments, if these amendments are accepted. Does everyone understand the amendments? I think a couple of you may have been gone when we discussed some of this, but briefly, Russ, since you suggested that wording, why don't you indicate in a sentence or two? I think Representative Johnson was maybe...
No, I'm fine.
Okay, fine.
I'm fine.
All right, any further discussion then? Any objection to the amendments? All right, then do we have a motion? Representative Parkinson. Representative Gilman.
I'll move 2936 as amended with -6 to the floor with the due pass.
Okay, it's been moved to send 2936 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? If not, if the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative
Parsons.
Aye.
Representative
Peterson. Aye. Representative Sowell. Aye. Aye. And we will ask Representative Gilman to carry this. We will aid him. We'll need to very clearly explain this to our colleagues on the floor, but I think with these amendments, it's not a bad little bill. I want to thank you all and thank Representative Gilman for taking the lead in putting this together. We will then close the work session on House Bill 2936. Are we ready on the destination resort issue, Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we get our people here? Who all we've got?
Where's Carney?
Do we need to have Representative Agron back? Is he back to committee? Anyone know?
Okay.
What about Mr. Benner? Okay,
Mr. Banner.
Well, we're getting a little work done today. I can't believe it.
We didn't have a lot of work this weekend.
We're going to try to kill it.
No, I just want to put on the record that this all has been a problem.
It doesn't finish it.
I think
let me see if we get started here.
Get a pencil. We don't have enough. They're coming up some more.
Very good. Yeah,
thank you.
I usually deliver 5 to you, and we do with the 9 days.
I know, but you know, today is just like, we're going to do it.
We appreciate your help.
Yes, sir. They'll be bringing them in a couple
here.
Minutes.
Here.
Okay.
You'll get another one.
Good.
They said the committee is just and they want you to try to
absolutely. Anybody who needs to go to the bathroom, go now.
Yeah, I think I'll go.
Hey, Ron, are we going to be out here by 5?
I hope so. I think so.
Five or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to be out here first. Ten, do we still get to have five copies?
No, everybody, I think.
Everybody has a copy.
Everybody got a copy of five.
This one, Kevin.
3097-5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you sure we used to have that in the line?
Sue, come on, Sue, come on up.
Will you also get dash two out of your folder? That is the big pack.
It's behind, yeah.
It's got typewriting at the top, hand in the fire.
Okay.
What do we got?
3097.
Welcome all back. Glad you're still here, but I don't know why now, why back there.
Dash two, dash five.
Moving in the closure, why you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
Yes, Representative,
Following your instructions on the adjournment of the recess of the work session, we went en masse down to the Legislative Council. We barged into the, took over their library, seized Sue from whatever it was she was doing, and we have now produced a result. Representative Anderson, I think, is quite familiar with it. Sue is here, and if you are ready to look at the amendments that we have wrought, they're ready.
All right, please, go ahead. Who do you want to take the lead, Representative Anderson?
Yeah, he's, I don't care. Go ahead, Andy, you're on top.
Go ahead.
Or Dick, either. Maybe Sue should tell you.
All right, wait a second.
Sue, just tell us the change.
Right. Okay. Well, we're using 3097-2 is the base, is that correct?
Dash five.
Dash five.
And then we'll get to two in a minute.
Oh, okay, fine, go ahead.
Five and two is.
Five is the new amendments.
Right.
Okay, fine, thank you.
Representative Cease, members of the committee, I'm Sue Hannah from Legislative Council. After the arrival of the group, I redrafted on the original bill, page two, in section four, is subsection six. I rewrote that subsection, and you'll find it down beginning at line six on 3097-5. And this is a substitution of standards in three instances, and those instances are set out there beginning on line nine as A, B, and C. And there's when land's not defined as agricultural forest land under the goals. On land.
Excuse me, there's confusion. You use the dash five amendments, the new ones. That's what she's reading from.
You're reading from this.
From the new ones.
And I stuck them in. What we've done is delete.
Okay.
Delete lines 28 through 31 on page two of the original bill. And in place of those, we're putting in what's in dash five.
Right. Okay. Everybody see that? Original bill at the bottom of the page, parent six. Second page. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, okay. Sue.
Okay. There are three types of land on which you can make this citing. Not defined as ag and forest, on land where there has been an exception to ag and forest and public facilities, services goals, and the urbanization goal, and C, on such secondary resource lands that the commission deems appropriate. Then there was a set of standards that was in the original bill, and we've retained those and just changed the structure a little to show that those standards apply to these types of lands in subsection 6.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Anderson.
I think in quick summary, what we did down there was on line 14 and 15. We put on such secondary lands as the commission deems appropriate. Now, beyond that, because we were in such a rush, we found out that by using number five that we had inadvertently left out, if you have before you the dash two amendments, that's the typewriting on the top, says 3097-2. Look on page two, section five. We want to use that language that was in dash two. We inadvertently and...
Give me just a minute. Dick, what are you missing?
Well, I don't have a copy of the dash five.
Oh, here. My gosh.
What line, Andy?
We're on, and now he's speaking from 3097-2, the engrossed dash two.
On line 42. Line 42. we've made changes, and we're just going to use the changes as you see them there. It was left out of the Benner draft. Mm-hmm. We also, if you turn back to section 9, page 5, line 27, to be consistent with the Trahern bill, we have inserted the word prude instead of develop. And in section 10, that would be page 8, line 10, we've done the same thing again. Inserted, scratched developed, and put in the word approved to be consistent with the Trahern bill. So in essence, all this committee did in the last hour, but it was a Herculean task, was make the change in dash 5 on such secondary land the commission deems appropriate, and we're adding back in those three neat little changes from dash 2 in section 5, 9, and 10.
Now let me ask you to reference that. Do you then need 11 and 12 of other bill?
That's in five.
We added a couple of words in there.
Good work.
All right. In summary, then, I would say that